I get in contact with her because of, she had a problem with her sinuses in The Hague. She's living in The Hague, and I thought it would be good to hear about your experiences. Can you tell us a bit shortly about what happened to you when you applied for the welfare benefit, social benefit?
I can try to keep it short. I applied for a benefit, and after a few weeks I was sent to a place to get an interview with my first residents, and from there I was sent to another one who decided in 20 minutes which trajectory he would send me, and directly with no communication or no rights, I was obliged to sign a paper in which I was obligedly for 30 or up to 32 or 40 hours a week. I would agree to work on the weekends and even at nights. And I would also have to travel regardless of the distance if any work was offered to me. So that was my first contact with the Soziale Zaken. From there I was sent to a place which is more like an atmosphere of group re-education. And people there were not interviewed one by one, but we were put collectively in a place, in a room, and from there, in another big room, they were saying to us, if you are over 50 or not in a very good shape, then you will go directly to Kringloop or Hagi Group. So there was no choice. And men or other person who were young and fit, they would be sent to more physical work, to fix the roads or the gardens. And then there was still another third group who had already failed to reintegrate themselves, and they would be sent to even another location, but she didn't explain exactly what it was. From there I was again forced to sign a paper.
And it was work for free, eh?
Always work for free, of course. There was no contract, no rights. Also, if you had a child, that is a big trouble, because of course if you have a child or children and you have a partner, then maybe you can share the time and organize yourself. But for parents who are single, which is my case, then it's very hard, and you cannot just drop your child on the weekend or pay somebody, because then with the little money that you get from the Beistand, then you cannot pay a private carer in your own home. So it's absolutely ridiculous. You cannot travel either, because, I mean, you can put your child in an Askoleofan, but they close at 6 o'clock, and if you are in anywhere around here, then you will probably be back after 7 or 8 o'clock in the night, in any normal job that closes around 6 or 5, if you're lucky. And
refuse it, or?
Well, I made all the workshops, all the trainings. In the trainings, as I told in the page from Dorbrack, which you perhaps have read already, we had to play silly games like brainstorming. They made people stupid questions like, how do you feel in the autumn, or how do you feel when it's a rainy day? Thing that had really nothing to do with helping us to find a real work. And some people had been there already 2 or 3 times, and they had to repeat the whole process again. So every time you apply for a Beistand, you are forced to do that. And people were getting really angry and disturbed because of that. And especially the people who were not able to speak Dutch, because some were really... they had a problem of communication. It was forbidden for them to get any help from any other person in the room to help them to fill a form or to understand what the exercise was about. If you try to help them, then they would say to you, you should not help them, because It's an obligation for you to speak Dutch if you are here, and you're not allowed to speak anything else but Dutch. So,
did you do forced labor or?
Not yet. Not at this point. People were not forced to work. Mm-hmm. They were just. We were wasting time for a full day, like I would say, between 6 and 8 hours, making tests and. Not really, not a psychological, but it's to see how you work in a group, how you cooperate, how you're able to obey as well to what they would say to you to do or not to do. It's like a little bit tricky. And they also made a very stupid question about why do you want to work to the people. So at this point people just say, well, because I need the money. And their people were twisted psychologically because they had to say, like, I want to work because I want to be useful for society, or I have a talent and I want to share my talent with somebody or with a company, for example. And people say, just no, I'm here because I need the money, otherwise I would starve. I don't have nothing to pay my rent, I don't have anything to pay my food, so. So it was just like a psychological fight all the time, mm-hmm. back and forth, and that went on for hours and hours. At the point I discovered I had to go to a place that was a recycling company or something like that, a heavy group. They said it was a dirty, cold place in which we had to wear protective shoes, old clothes, and we were not allowed to have a normal lunch canteen, just like atmosphere of a staff camp for me. That was the image. Then they played the PowerPoint, and in the PowerPoint it was very clear that people in that group were acting up, or they had to play like a happy face, and they had to say, I'm very happy that the town hall have saved me or have put me back on the right path. And it was like at that point I felt like it was a sort of nightmare between some kind of religious brainwash, but those religions that are weird, and not that I mean to attack anybody who is religious here, but the meaning that it is like a sect that they put you inside a path in which you have no choice of expressing yourself or telling, I prefer to do another job, or I'm skilled to do maybe gardening, or I don't know. So to make it a conclusion was that I could not accept this condition, and all what I have seen was enough, because I had patience for a few workshops. I went to a workshop for an Ascolum fund. I went to a workshop about how to pump up your curriculum twice or three times. I had to make it up again, and two or three times, too short, too long, without this, without that. So, and at the point I made the whole path, I say there is no hope there. They're sending me to a dead end, and I took it not just for my own pride, but for the pride of everybody else that has been treated that worse than a dog. I said that must be a no now, and then I search on the internet. Abuse of workers, abuse of people who are unemployed, and by chance I translated in Dutch and I found their group, and I read more things, and I searched with all the medias that I could. I'm just here 2 years, so it was a little bit hard for me to situate myself and to find out what I would do, you know. But finally I did it, and this is why I'm here, and I want to share that with everybody else who can have the same problems.
And you also wrote an article.
As I said in the beginning, what I wrote already is on the website of Dordrecht.
It's also on the website of the Haagse Mug, there can you also links find. Mm-hmm.
So
no, they give you the traveling money? No. When you go to travel, you make it
oh,
through the morning.
Yeah, that was another big problem because some people there had no bike. Some people were borderline with between something like homeless, some were sleeping in that place, the Helvetes. So the guy there said, then borrow a bike. I don't care if you cannot come where you have to go there.
When there's no money to go, how you watch them?
Yeah.
And they don't pay.
There was no free bus ticket.
So every normal job pays traveling money. Every normal job gives you the traveling money.
Yeah.
So why are we not? Yeah. What's the difference?
Yeah. So from my side, I think that was everything I had to mention about that story.
I think you have to tell them that they cut you.
Oh yes, 100%. Yeah. Of course, yeah, of course.
And that you speak 6 or 7 languages. So you're
That's.
And that you don't have any money.
Yeah. I had to borrow money to survive. I was lucky because I just had some tax return that allowed me a little bit of gain. They had the government here, the taxes. They had to pay me back 2013, 2014. So I had some money as a provision to allow myself to make this this political fight. And I had to borrow some money. And the punishment they gave me when I refused to go to the Hagi Group was the 100% cutting of the subvention immediately.
Yeah.
And they also made false accusations in which they said I had not called them when I had to call them in the mornings. I did. Mm-hmm. So I made the case also with a group called Legal to People that are a couple of jurists. And I delivered to them all the copies of the phone calls, emails, all the documentation. So my case is now in the Rechtsbank. And I will have to wait until beginning of July or mid of July to know anything else. Yeah. And another thing, there is my son who is over there. I have a small little story to add. He was sick one day when I had to go to the first workshop, so I had to call. And it was not a very nice call because the person there on the phone said, then we will send you somebody to check if it's true. And they hang, you know, and we were left like this, like, you know, what's going to happen now? Who's going to knock our door?
Yeah,
they're
so scared.
Yeah. So, well, I live in a very small house. I didn't want to hide anything from my child either. And people who were there in these workshops, they also made me feel guilty, like, what kind of mother are you if you're not able to work for your son and go to this nice workshop that will give your child a good image about how people have to work in a society? So they really made me feel like, they tried to manipulate me in any possible manner, but I was sure, my feeling was that something was wrong and it was not right what they were doing.
Of course it's not right.
Maybe someone knows how she can get money until the judge has passed the sentence. Is er iemand die kan zeggen hoe ze geld kan komen? Hoe kan ze overleven totdat geld komt via de rechtbank?
The next story is that I have applied already for a new bystand.
Okay,
but it will take like 6 or 8 weeks.
For the intermediate time.
I work as a free, a volunteer, because I chose to work as a volunteer in a non-governmental association that helps refugees and people who are homeless or undocumented. And I will try to convince the next consulate that that's a nice job that I do, but I'm still not happy because they will give me very little money anyway, and it will be like a problem in which if I have a problem once with this association, I will still have no rights of if I need a holiday or a special day or something. It's a very delicate situation and it's really not ideal. But for now, that's what I have found.
To get some money, you can apply for an advance payment of your benefits.
Yeah.
Okay.
How long after? How many weeks?
I don't know exactly,
after four
but
weeks. After 4 weeks.
Yeah. Apply for the second time for bijstand. I don't know if you maybe already tried it. There's something called the broodnood procedure.
Broodnood?
Yes, this might help you. It says like when you apply for bijstand, it takes a couple of certain period before they make a decision and all.
8 weeks.
Yes, yes. But you, if you have no money to live, there is a need. That's the word nood. And brood is bread, so bread need procedure, and you can apply for this. They have to give you the information how to do this.